Thousands of people have taken to the streets once again of Sanaa. Tom Finn is there for us. Tom, describe the scene.
Well, a huge crowd left Chain Square yet again here. They marched quite far into the city today, actually. Normally they don't go as close to the centre, but they essentially did a big loop. And I'm just now back at Chain Square watching them all coming back in. As you can hear, there's people whistling and shouting. Kind of a sense of relief that there wasn't any shooting today, because we've reached a stage now where, you know, almost every time these guys leave the square and march into the city, some sort of violence takes place. But as I said, they look like they made it back. And I noticed today they were flanked by hundreds of these affected troops, but I've never seen them so well watched over. There were the soldiers who are under Ali Mohsin, who have been protecting the protesters, but also clashing with their government troops recently. They were watching them all the way, literally forming a line on either side of them, and they had Kalashnikovs and bazookas and things. So they look like they're better protected today and less vulnerable than they have looked the last couple of days.
Human Rights Watch was warning in an article in Foreign Policy that the protest movement is being hijacked by this sort of violent power struggle between sort of three various elites in Sanaa. Is that the way that the protesters are seeing it?
It's actually a very complicated and difficult issue. At the end of the day, there are people who are on the microphone in Chain Square, and they're the ones who are deciding where and when these protesters are marching. And now, the people on that microphone tend to be from the Islah Party, which is the big Islamic opposition party in Yemen. And that's led a lot of people to make this accusation that somehow the youth, as they call it, are being used as cannon fodder. And even President Saleh said that on his speech on Sunday. He said to them, stop being pushed to the front line. You're being used, you're being sacrificed. But I mean, that caused a lot of offence here. And I mean, talking to protesters, they don't feel used at all. And they say to me, you know, we're a protest movement. We need leaders. We need someone to direct us. But just because people from the Islah Party are sending out the orders doesn't mean that we're being used. We just need to be organised. But I mean, it certainly is a lot more complicated in Yemen now than just, you know, pro-democracy youth versus old regime. As you said, now we've got the military involved, which makes things more complicated. And there have been accusations flying around that Ali Mohsin's troops have used protesters as human shields. But stuff like this is very hard to confirm, and I have never heard that from any protesters here. But certainly a much more complicated picture in Yemen now than it was, say, 2 or 3 months back.
But Ali Mohsin is no sort of great reformer. Is there a sort of discomfort to be associated with him and protected by him among the protesters?
Well, when Ali Mohsin first defected back in March after 52 protesters were shot in Sanaa, there was a very strong debate going on inside the protest camp about whether or not they wanted these troops, because essentially the people here didn't really get a choice. Ali Mohsin sent his men to protect these protesters. And a big theme from the beginning amongst all of these protesters is the word Silmiya, which is peacefully, peacefully. And you hear them shouting that over and over again. People in Yemen, especially the protesters, are very, very aware of how many guns and how much potential for conflict there is. So they wanted to keep it peaceful. That's now shifted. We've had a week worth of clashes between factions of the military. And to be honest, the general feel here now is that Ali Mohsin's men are actually guarding the revolution. People feel that if Ali Mohsin's men weren't here, they'd be massacred. That may or may not be true, but certainly that's the vibe that I get. You know, Ali Mohsin's men here, now I can see them, they've got flags around their heads, they're standing there and they're being cheered as people march in, you know? And it's shifted now. People are scared, and more scared than they were before. And so they're part of the protest movement, whether you like it or not, you know? They're intermingled, they're inside the protest camp, they're watching over them. So that's the situation, really.
Give us an idea of the scale of this protest. Is it the biggest since Saleh's return?
Well, I was at the back originally, and it didn't look like there were that many people. I thought maybe 4,000 or 5,000. But as I said, I'm now stood next to the entrance, the southern entrance to Chain Square, and crowds have been you know, rushing past now for about 20-25 minutes. So I don't really know what that means in terms of numbers, but I think, you know, it feels bigger than I anticipated. So maybe we're talking tens of thousands. It's a lot of people. But it's very hard to predict, you know, to get a real like, grasp on the numbers here.
And is President Salah still the sort of the focus for their anger?
Well, I mean, it's funny watching how the chants changed. So originally it was Erhal Ya Ali, go out Ya Ali, or Ashraf Yurid, Askat Al-Nazam. The people want the regime to fall. Then the president left to Saudi Arabia and the chants shifted and it became Ashraf Yurid Bina Yemen Jadid, which is the people want to build a new Yemen, which a lot of people liked. It was as if the protesters were looking forward now and it wasn't just, you know, we want the regime to fall. But now, of course, Salah's back, so the slogans have shifted again, and now they're calling for him to leave. And you know, a lot of people feel like it may have added impetus and blown new life into this protest movement. Certainly, these are bigger numbers than we saw last week. So maybe Salah coming back has brought more people onto the street.
Okay, Tom. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks, Matt.